Our scripture this evening is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me tell you how I came to this sermon. Thursday, I was supposed to speak to the First Priority Club at West Green. And obviously, speaking to a group of young people, I was going to tie that in to tonight, into Halloween. And the title of my message to them, you're going to love this, was Pretenders or Proclaimers. Romans 12, 1 and 2 was my takeoff verse, and we had others we were going to look at. Where I was going is, what do we normally do on Halloween? We pretend to be something we're not. We pretend to be something we're not. And so, I was going to pick up on that and then encourage them to be in the world but not of the world. And so, Thursday morning I got up, and at about 6:20 I was doing what I always do, checking my network to make sure my critical servers are online. It wasn't. So I tried another one. It wasn't. And so I tried a number of things, and I couldn't reach my network. And so I called our network provider at like 6:30 in the morning, and he ran some tests for me. And he said, Larry, we're up, but I can't see past this. I can't see anything in your network. And I said, that's not good. And so I called Sharon because I wasn't sure I'd be able to get a hold of Alex Smith and say, I'm not going to be there. My network's down. And so when I sat down to write tonight's sermon, I said, well, I'll just take what I was going to give to those kids and, kind of update it and make it a little bit longer because I've got more time on Sunday night than I would have had at First Priority and give that. And so I started and got about halfway through the updating the introduction, and the Lord just kept saying, stop. Okay? Stop. That's not what I want you to talk about Sunday night. We'll talk about it sooner or later, but that's not what I want you to talk about Sunday night. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, well, you know that Monday, November the 1st, is All Saints Day. And within the more high church traditions, All Saints Day is a big deal. Now, they have a completely different and wrong outlook on what a saint is. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're specifically going to talk about what a saint is tonight. And we're going to look at that. But as I began thinking about what I could say to commemorate the celebration of those that are called to be holy, I was drawn to this text in Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And we're going to see, honestly, I don't want you to get scared, because we're going to read 9 verses. But our sermon only covers 1 verse. We're only going to be looking at verse 2, because I'm going to tell you that all of the rest of 1 Corinthians is a commentary on what Paul tells us in verse 2. The verse 2 is the point of the whole letter, and everything else is in the letter is just working out what he has already said in verse 2. And what he said in verse 2 is that God has called us to be saints. Therefore, we ought to live that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every, or who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, what an amazing text. What an amazing calling. What an amazing thing you laid on Paul's heart to communicate to this church at Corinth that was struggling in the culture that they lived in. Father, we just pray that as we unpack verse 2, that you would speak to our hearts this evening, that you would illumine our hearts and minds as you illumined the heart and mind of Paul when you gave to him this perfect and infallible text. God, we love you with all of our soul, and we trust you with all of our heart. We offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer. In and through the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Master. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning, tomorrow is All Saints Day. Now, obviously, that arose within the high church. And when I say high church within Christendom, you generally have a dividing line. High church would be our Catholic friends, our Episcopalian friends, our Presbyterian friends. Okay, and in some places, our Methodist friends. Low church would definitely be Baptist. We are in the low church tradition. That's because we don't use a lot of liturgy. Okay. We just don't use liturgy. We don't have lecterns. In high church, what I would be preaching today has already been selected for me years ago. Years ago, my text was already selected in a high church for today, for all of our services. It would have already been selected. High church is obviously, especially within the Catholic branch. They believe that saints are super Christians, that saints are someone who has demonstrable evidence of a mighty working of God in their life. And to be canonized within the Catholic Church, that's the process it's called, to be canonized with one end, well, actually two, but they're not together, okay, instead of three. But to be canonized, the person has to have been dead, I think, 70 years or something like that. There has to be at least one demonstrable miracle in their life. And there's a number of other conditions. Y'all remember a few years ago after Mother Teresa died, a lot of people really wanted to put her on the fast track to become a saint, and they did. She is now Saint Teresa, which is moving at warp speed for the Catholic Church because she hasn't been dead long enough to be considered, to be considered as a saint within their tradition. But a lot of those in the medium church and in the low church will use All Saints Day as a day for us to remember all of those that have gone on to be with the Lord during the last year. Do we still read all of the names at the associational meeting of those that have died in the past year? Do we still do that? Okay. Okay, so we recognized, okay, so that's our way of honoring, because our associational meeting is in November, and so that's our way of giving a nod to everyone. Listen to me, everyone in our association that's gone on to be with the Lord is going to be recognized at our associational meeting. That's a big deal. That's a great thing. And what we want to do is to understand tonight what Paul is saying in verse 2. Because for most of us, the only saints we know is a football team in New Orleans. Or it's a place like St. Paul. Or it's a cathedral like St. Peter's. And we don't really know what it means to be a saint. And again, we're going to unpack that in a little bit. Paul, in verses 2 and 3, we just read, but we're going to read it again. He says, to the church of God, there's a lot in this verse, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Saints by calling. Paul is calling every person at First Baptist Corinth. Now, y'all know that they weren't Baptist, but you get what I'm saying. Paul is calling everybody in that church a saint, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, beloved. Paul is not just saying that the people at Corinth are saints and the rest of the churches that he's planted and the rest of the people in Christendom are not. With all saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Paul is very clearly saying, if you know Jesus, you're a saint. If you know Jesus, you are a saint. And we're going to see what that word means again in just a few moments. But here's a quick definition without getting into any Greek. A saint is simply a sinner who has discovered the marvelous grace of God through Jesus Christ. We are called to live holy lives in an unholy world. I don't know about you, but every time I walk out the door, it seems to me that our world has gotten more unholy than it was yesterday morning. We see and we hear on the news just thing after thing after thing, and we're at the point that nothing shocks us anymore. Nothing really shocks us when we hear about it on the news. And so then, All Saints Day becomes a vehicle, a mechanism for us to remember that calling. I am a saint. I am a saint, and I need to live as one who has been called. Wesley thought this day worth remembering. In his journal in November of 1748, he wrote, "Surely right dear in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, some of you that have been to funerals that I preached know where that comes from. It comes from the Psalms. And in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, saint is the word that they believe best translated, the underlying Hebrew word, is the death of his holy ones. And so the translators of the Old Testament chose to use that same word. Now here's the deal. We are individually called to live holy lives. But look at what Paul says to the church. To the church. We get to live those holy lives in connection and conjunction with other believers. We're not out there having to do this by ourselves. We're not out there alone trying to do this. Paul is telling us that we, as the church of God, are to be about holiness. And holiness is about how we worship and grow and serve together as the body of Christ. Beloved, we're saints by calling. And God calls us to live that out. Now, let me give you just a few characteristics that, and these are not necessarily high church characteristics of saints, but if there were, I'd be giving you a whole lot more than this. But let me just give you a few. All saints are filled with the love of God. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now, when we start to unpack this verse, we're going to see that this is all about God's activity in our lives. So how in the world can we not be in love with God? How can we not be filled with the love of God because we have been sanctified, we have been called, and we have been knit together? All saints love other human beings. It can't be any other way. In 1 John 4:20, John says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. All saints are risk takers. And you might be saying, well, preacher, you don't know me very well. I'm not a risk taker. I'm like that commercial that they've got out there for, I think it's USAA, that I give my turn signal even when there's nobody behind me. I got the little dog in the back window with the head that goes, aye, 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 and some of y'all are old enough to remember where that came from. It's from Chico and the Man. But anyway, and some of y'all are going, what is he talking about? Who's this Chico guy? It was a great show back in the 70s. But that you can bring your vehicle to a stop without the little dog in the back window with a bobbly head moving at all. You say, I'm not a risk taker. When I invested my retirement money and they said, how much risk do you want? You said, I don't want any. I don't want any risk in my retirement money. But let me tell you something, beloved. If you are a blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a risk taker. You are a risk taker. You have been called to be a risk taker. For some of those saints, they have been called to get thee hence, God said to Abram. And Abram said, where am I going? And God said, you don't worry about that. I'll tell you when to stop. You just move until I tell you to stop. For some, it was, I want you to go and proclaim to my people. Oh, and by the way, they're not going to listen to you. And they're probably going to kill you. For others, it was, I want you, John, to go and announce the coming of my son. For some, it was, Paul, why are you persecuting me? The risk takers, they take God at his word and they move out on that. The saints are not perfect. Can I get an amen? None of the saints are perfect, beloved. We read from Adam all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. And there's only one man in that book that's outlined as perfect. And he died for all of us that aren't. God uses ordinary human vessels in the most extraordinary ways. And the saints are people of their time. Like the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you get there? I mean, these sons of Issachar, they understood the times. They were able to look at the culture in which they live and understand the places where their culture was diverging from the Word of God. And the reason that they knew what to do is because they were immersed in the Word of God. They were men of prayer. They were godly men. They spent time with God every day. Paul had visited Corinth in AD 49, and he had planted a church there. Now, because of its location, Corinth was a major trade route. And you can imagine what happens as people from every culture begin flowing through a city. At Corinth, the temple of Aphrodite was up on a hilltop. And there they had the priestesses that engaged in cultic prostitution. That's how Aphrodite was worshipped. And just below it was the temple of Apollo where they celebrated homosexuality. In fact, the name of the city had become a verb. To Corinthianize meant to engage in all kinds of debauchery. Just like Las Vegas has been very successful in their ad campaigns, haven't they? Even good Christian folks, finish this sentence for me. What happens in Vegas? And we're Christians. We're Christians. We don't want what happens in Vegas to stay in Vegas. That's against the Great Commission. It's against what we said and who we say we are. But Corinth was a city very much like Las Vegas, that they prided themselves on their debauchery. And it was into this dark and cosmopolitan city that Paul planted a church. And now he's writing back to that church to remind them that every single member of that church was called to be a saint in that culture. This is not an angry letter. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, I'm praying that the gifts that God has given to you, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and in knowledge. Can I translate that for you into 2021? Guys, you got this. Guys, you got this. God's got this. God, listen, God has saved you. I just told you what he did back in verse 2. And I'm thanking God for you every day because of his grace in your life that was given to you as a gift in Christ Jesus. And on top of that, in everything you were, past tense, you were, it's already happened and the effect of it is ongoing, enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. God is giving you the gifts that you need to live the testimony, verse 6, the testimony of Christ confirmed in you. That's major. The testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. Translated, I have seen Jesus in you. I have seen Jesus in your life. And now what I'm calling you to do is to understand that you are not lacking in any gift while you're waiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go out and make a difference in this city. Paul doesn't berate them. And he doesn't give them a lot of how-tos in here, other than what we just went through. Going back to verse 2, I want you to notice how he begins. Who did he write this letter to? To the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now this word church, it is the word in Greek that we get our word ecclesiastical from. The word here in Greek is just ekklesia. It's a simple word. It doesn't necessarily mean church. You could use the word ekklesia to apply to the Noon Rotary Club or to the band at the school. The word simply means an assembly of people. People that have been assembled together for a purpose. But here he says, I am writing to the assembly, to the church of God. And that is the distinctive difference. Listen, beloved, we don't gather together to do just good things. We gather together to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else is secondary to that. Why do we go visit somebody at a funeral? To tell them about Jesus. Why do we go and provide meals for people during that time? To tell them about Jesus. Why do we go and help burnouts when their home burns down? To tell them about Jesus. Why do we have hay rides? To tell people about Jesus. Why do we have back to school bashes? To tell people about Jesus. That's why we're doing it. Everything else is secondary. And so Paul says, I want you guys to understand that you are the church of God, which is at Corinth. It's not the church of Paul. It's not the church of the elders. It's not the church of the Corinthians. It's not the church of the culture. The church in Mohawk, Tennessee is not the creation of a denomination. It's not defined by its pastor. It's not defined by its leaders. It's not defined by the culture of its members. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. We are the church of God. We are His and we are for Him. So what is the church of God? What does it really look like? How do you distinguish it from other assemblies? What is it that makes Concord Baptist Church distinct from any other club or organization? The Church of God, Paul says in very simple words, are those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now, let me get a little technical with you here. The word sanctified and the word saint comes from the same Greek word. Okay? So, in other words, we could translate that into English as to those who have been sanctified, to those who have been made saints, saints by calling. It comes from the same Greek root. This word sanctified is a perfect passive participle. Those of y'all that were in Sunday school, remember that I always look at my wife when I say that to make sure I'm not saying something stupid. It's a perfect passive participle. Perfect means that the action is already complete. But its effect, it's a participle, means that its effect is ongoing. Okay? So we have been sanctified and that process is ongoing. Passive means I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It means the action of the verb was performed on the subject of the verb by something or someone else. I didn't sanctify myself. I have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. One more grammar lesson here for you. Saints by calling. Now, y'all look at that word calling and you think that's another verb. But it's not. It's an adjective. Because it's modifying the word saints. And the tense or the case of that adjective in Greek is dative. And dative means that whatever the noun that that adjective is modifying is talking about is the receiver of the action. So in other words, Paul is once again, by saying saints by calling, is saying that you, this action of being a saint was performed on you by something else. A saint is simply a sanctified one. Now, y'all might remember, in the Old Testament, there were certain things that they only used in the temple. They had special candles that you only used within the temple. They had special bread that was only used inside the temple. They had special clothes we looked at in Joshua this morning. They had special clothes they only wore when they were in the temple. Not in Joshua, but about Joshua. And all of those things were sanctified. They were set apart for God's use. What Paul is saying is that we as Christians have been set apart for God's use. We belong to Him, and He has set us apart to use us and to be dedicated entirely to Him. Paul is saying this is what happened to you when you became a Christian. We are sanctified. God set us aside for His use alone. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen to me. When you go to work tomorrow morning, if you think you're working for the person whose name is at the top of the stationery, you got a problem. You're not working for them. If you are, then you're not living a biblical life. You work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul tells us later that we are to work as though we are working for God in whatever work we do. Why? Because we have been set apart for God's use. And that doesn't stop when we walk out the door of the sanctuary. We have been permanently set apart for God's use. Now, where are we sanctified? In Christ Jesus. God unites us to Jesus through faith. We are planted into Him. And then He tells us how it happens. He says we're called to be saints. The sovereign, effective, irresistible call of God in the preaching of the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, makes us saints. God, in the preaching of the gospel, applied by the Spirit of God, makes us saints as He calls us into union with Jesus Christ. Now, think for just a minute about the people this letter is being written to. Think about the Corinthians. They were fighting among themselves. They were holding grudges. They were acting superior. They were suing one another in the public courts. They were sleeping around. They were participating in pagan rituals. They were getting hammered at the Lord's table and so much else. They were a hot mess. And Paul calls them saints. He calls them saints. He calls them sanctified in Jesus Christ because of the call of God. You get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you see a wicked, sinful, compromising, ne'er-do-well, full of any number of sins and unbelief and judgmentalism. I do too. But that is not our identity, beloved. That may be what we do. It may be how we act in our backsliding and our sin. But as we cling to Jesus, we are sanctified in union with Christ Jesus by the powerful call of the Spirit of God. You are a saint. God has declared that you are His. You are dedicated and reserved for His use and glorified and His glory. That is who you are. So now Paul is saying to the Corinthians, in light of what I've told you about who you are and what I'm going to go on to say in the rest of this letter, it is time to be who you are. It's time for you to live out your identity before the world and the eyes and the gaze of a holy God. Stop living the old life. That's not who you are anymore. Stop telling yourself otherwise. You are sanctified, so be holy. You are a saint in union with Jesus Christ. Start living like one. Paul then mentions two things that are simply the implication of what he just said. The first has to do with our new activity as Christians. Here's what the church does. We are called to be saints, together with all of those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't simply mean by this that we occasionally pray. He doesn't mean that we just every now and then ask God to do something. He is saying that the whole of the Christian life can be summed up in the fact that we continually call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator put it this way: Paul expresses not so much an individual act of invocation, a prayer, as a habitual state of mind and its appropriate expression. He is calling us to a habitual state of mind in the church to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we live. That's our stance. That's who we lean on. That's who we rest on. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in every circumstance and at every turn. Can that be said of us? Can it be said of us that we're constantly and habitually calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He always on our lips, on our hearts? Are we longing for more of Him? All of our hope for the future, for our growth, for our ministry, for our faithfulness and our fruitfulness rest on Him. Oh, beloved, we have been called to be saints. And so, to the church of God, which is at Concord, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How will we live out that calling this week?